for the mom with her hands full and only a few minutes to spare here and there, put your hand on your chest. Take a deep breath. You're doing better than you think you are. I want you to delight in these ordinary, often mundane days of motherhood, rooted in confidence about how you are raising and speaking to and nurturing your kids. Peace starts with you. So let's create peaceful safe havens for our kids to grow in. It's never too late, and the fact that you are here speaks volumes of the amazing mom that you are and desire to be. Hey, everybody. Okay, I'm so excited. I have a special guest today, and she's been a huge inspiration in just my positive parenting walk and journey. And she has a wisdom that I don't have yet. She has grown, I don't want to say grown because they're older. Your kids are older. Done positive parenting, and you've seen the fruit of that. And so, Wendy, am I pronouncing your last name right? Snyder?
Yes, that's yes.
Okay, so Wendy, she helps families parent and parent with great purpose and intention by creating healthy, respectful, cooperative relationships. She has two kids. She is a certified parenting educator and family life coach. And I feel like even just on your social media, you're constantly inspiring parents to just learn and grow through connection-based positive parenting strategies. And you are the host and founder of FreshStartFamilyOnline.com. And she helps parents ditch threats, yelling, harsh punishments, which you may be listening to that and being like, how I could never parent without those things. But I promise you it's possible. I know you've helped tons of families make radical shifts in their hearts and their minds and their souls and just create rock solid relationships and connections with their kids. At the same time, like teaching important life lessons and helping to raise the next generation of leaders and change makers and important human souls. So if you're up for it, I want you to share your story, because that is what made you're just your you talk and just your energy. Just it drew me, like I was so drawn to you. But when I heard your story about your daughter, I was instantly like all ears. And so if you'll start by just sharing that with us, that would be amazing. And then we'll jump into, I did a poll on my Instagram, and the one that came up on top was power struggles with strong-willed kids. So that'll be our main focus.
Oh, I love it, Brooklyn. Well, I love your energy too. When you messaged us, I think you messaged us on Instagram to see if I would be on the show. And my team was like, oh my gosh, this Brooklyn girl is adorable and amazing. And we just fell in love with you like right away. So I'm excited to spend a little time with you this morning and pour into your community. And yeah, I'd love to share my story. My daughter that we speaketh of, my beautiful, strong-willed daughter, that I didn't always describe in this beautiful light. She's now 15. She just turned 15 and she is thriving in life. And so, yeah, it's been so cool to watch, like, because I always say that this was always an experiment, right? Like when I learned this work, when I started to get into this work of positive parenting and family life coaching about 12 years ago, you know, every step of the way was an experiment, right? Like I always say, I don't like to call myself an expert. Like I'm an educator, I'm a coach, but really, you know, we all learn through doing and we learn through experience. And over the years, like every little move we made, we were like, okay, let's hope this works out. And then here we are at 15, and you know, 15 is like the new 21. I mean, have you seen these 15-year-old girls?
Yes, yes.
I'm like, oh my gosh, that, like when I was 15, I did not look that cute and put together. They have like YouTube and all these tutorials on how to do their hair and makeup. It's hilarious. So yeah, they kind of are full grown right at that time. But I always say that once you have teenagers, of course, you're always parenting, but you're more mentoring than you are parenting, because by that point, they have a lot of the lessons, like, you know, they're always still learning, but just there's so much front packed in that first 12, 13 years. That's really important. So to see the fruits of the labor has been really an incredible season of life for me right now. But I found the work about 13 years ago when Stella was about 3 years old. I had just had my second child. I got two colicky babies, which is nuts. I don't meet that many people who get two colicky babies. So both my little people, they just scream the first 3 months of their life. And so when Taryn came along, my little guy, Stella was just embarking on the many challenges of toddlerhood. And as a strong-willed child, that's like a really intense season of life for them and parents. And then Taryn had colic. And at the same time, I decided to leave my job in the corporate surf world and stay home because I thought it was going to be this like amazing, like we were going to be at the beach and the house was going to be clean and I was going to exercise and like they were going to nap every day for 3 hours. And before long, it was just a nightmare. I let go of a nanny who I adored. And before long, like I was just like, what is happening? Stella was in timeouts like 50 times a day. I just felt like I was constantly arguing with her and trying to get her to listen and comply. Like it felt like every time I would say, go right, she would like immediately go left. Like it didn't matter if I was like, don't pull the dog's tail, she would pull it harder. If I was like, sit down, she would like stand up. You know, it just felt like it was just such a struggle. And so at the same time, I had immense guilt and really shame now that I've come to know the difference as a life coach. Like, who am I? Like, here I am able to stay home in this beautiful Southern California town, 2 miles from the beach. My husband is like going out of his way to like make sure we can have enough money to pay the mortgage so I can leave my corporate job. And I'm freaking miserable. Like who, like what's wrong with me? Fix yourself. And then also at the same time, I'm like, how is this little, and she was so cute at the time. She's always cute, but she had this little pixie cut like yours, like, but she had like bangs and like short little hair. And she was just so cute. But I was like, why am I so triggered when she like won't put on her shoes or like, you know, other people wouldn't, like Terry was my husband, like he was less triggered, right? But I was just like losing my cool all the time. I started to become a yeller, a door slammer. I would get so upset that I would like really like aggressively put her into timeout. And at the time we were just like trying to figure it out. We're like reading books that I like can't even believe I even listened to the advice now because it's like mortifies my soul, some of the things we tried with her to try to get her in check. But thank God I got invited to a positive parenting class. It was actually at her preschool. It was a free class that they've been hosting now for like 30 years. And I walked into that classroom and instantly the teacher just put my soul at ease, and just being around other people that were like going through the same thing. Many of them who had strong-willed kids, many of them who had colicky babies. I just saw a mom that I was in like breastfeeding support group and we both had colicky babies, but I saw her at high school orientation and I was like, oh my gosh, you look at our girls. They made it. They're all grown up. But back then we were just miserable. And so it just felt really good. And so before long, I started to learn these concepts. I started to learn how to see my beautiful strong-willed kid in a different light. And we'll talk about that in a minute. I learned to start communicating differently to her. I started like big time. This was a big, big difference. I started to understand how to use compassionate discipline with her instead of punishment. I started to understand how to lean into like actually empowering her and giving her more power instead of trying to always like put her in check. Cause I always thought like, if you give her an inch, she'll take a mile. And so naturally I started to change, and organically she really started to respond well too. And so before long I was finding that I was able to influence her to put on her shoes or get in the car or sit at the dinner table, not by forcing or using threats or raising my voice, but instead like really getting creative and honoring who she was and her desire to lead. And so, yeah, we've just watched that over the last 13 years help make this child blossom in life. So now she's thriving. She's a freshman in high school. She's a star volleyball player. She's a really, really gifted drummer. She's really different amongst her friend group. You know, she shares everything with us. Shares everything with us, even her mistakes, right? Her imperfections. She's like, you know, not taking part in like revenge and mean girl behavior, which a lot of the friends are, all the rebellion that's starting to come out in like 90% of her friends with like drinking, sex, drugs, vaping, alcohol. It's not present in her.
Motivation that you taught her, you know, yep, from when she was little, of just, you know, she wants to, she doesn't feel forced, but she just, it's in her to want to,
yeah,
tell you and include you. That's so, so cool.
It's so cool. And so, yeah, so I think there's a million things that have resulted in her thriving now and us thriving with her. Cause I mean, she's still a super strong-willed kid, but that's the story. That's what led me to start Fresh Start Family. And now I get to serve and support families all over the world. We have courses and a membership program and even life coaching weekend courses for people who really want to go deep and like break knee-jerk reactions and generational, like painful cycles of doing like behaving in a way that they don't want to. So yeah, Fresh Start Family. We've got a podcast now, right? Which
I love your podcast.
I remember you saying that you were like at the point where you were Googling like child, like is my child demon possessed? Like that's how like low yeah. you, like you were just like at rock bottom and you thought there was like yeah. no hope. You were literally Googling that. And then you came across positive parenting and how it's completely, I mean, obviously like shifted your connection and your relationship with her and how you raised her.
So. Yeah. I watched documentaries on bipolar. I Googled exorcism. Yeah. We had her at doctors. We had her like play therapist and psychiatrist. We were like, is she ADD? Is she ODD? Is she ADHD? Like something's got to be wrong with her. Cause she's so like, now I'm just realizing she is so strong-willed. And that's why I've fallen in love with helping parents with these kids because they are amazing human souls, but my goodness, you've got to make sure you're supported if you've been blessed with one by yeah. a parenting educator, a mentor.
Share with us, how do you teach and guide a strong-willed kid? How did you do it?
Okay, well, as I mentioned, the first thing that you got to start with is mindset, right? So like just realizing, so back before I found this work, my mindset was that like something was wrong with her. Unfortunately, there's like a lot of families in the Christian faith, like brothers and sisters in my faith that unfortunately teach something that is awful and heartbreaking, but there's so many books that teach you, well, this type of child just needs their will broken. Something's wrong with them. They're defiant. They're disobedient. They're, you know, rebellious and stubborn and just challenged, like all these words that is like, something's got to change. Like you've got to, as a parent, make them change. And so that mindset is not only false and been proven wrong by research and science and all the things, but it also just sets you up for like a super unjoyful and stressful walk as a parent. So instead, once you start to realize that these type of kids are designed by no mistake, like they have a very special purpose in the world and they are often the thought leaders. They are the ones that we may describe them as those words when they're little, right? Demanding, insistent, stubborn, bossy, cocky, difficult, challenging, rebellious, defiant. But as they grow up, when they're mentored, in a kind, respectful, firm, and compassionate way with connection. These are the same kids that often grow up to be the leaders or the ones who stand outside the box and just become change makers of the world. They have the courage to get up on stages. They are the ones who often aren't scared away to have a different opinion or, you know, speak out about something or advocate for something, right? And so those type of kids, when mentored in a great way, grow up to be just great leaders who are decisive and determined and persistent and confident, committed, resourceful, non-conforming, and bold, right? Like those, if you think about like the world's greatest leaders, Martin Luther King Jr., for me, these are my heroes, right? Nelson Mandela, Malala Yousafzai, Jesus, like these people were, they had all these traits, right? So it's like, well, how do you look at that kid right now that you're just like, why can't you just get dressed when you're asked? And just remember that they're just developing and like figuring out how to take this big, beautiful spirit that they were blessed with and operate in the world in a way that is adding beauty instead of disrupting it, essentially. So the first place is the mindset. Like, you know, if you have one, if your kid often like learns by doing, they're the ones who get in trouble the most because they learn through their own mistakes. Like we can tell them all day long, like, mama, mama, don't do this, don't do that, do this, do that. But they like to be in charge. They like to know. So when they stub their toe, that's how they learn best to put on their shoes, right? When asked or when they step on a bee, they learn by doing. They're usually super passionate and intense in their beliefs and interests. They often have an intense need to be heard. They're highly sensitive often. Stella was that for sure. And they're usually just really independent. And so just starting with that mindset shift of, okay, I'm raising the next generation of leader right here before me. Nothing's wrong with them. There's nothing I'm doing wrong, so to speak. I'm just ill-equipped right now because my toolkit is not quite full. I've never had a teacher in this space. Of course, I'm not going to have a full toolkit when it comes to raising a strong-willed child. Nothing's wrong with you. Nothing's wrong with them. You've just got to get yourself your toolkit filled up so you have more options on how to work with them. So that's really number one. And really the biggest is the mindset shift. And then after that, we move into like, okay, well, how do you set firm boundaries with these kids and follow through with consistency, but do it in a way where they'll actually respond? And that, you know, some of the tips or tools that I teach is empowerment's got to be huge. Like, these kids hate being told what to do. And I don't care how many hours you wish it away and think that it's wrong and they should just learn to be compliant. They just hate it. They come out of their skin. Like, they want to steer their own ship as much as possible. So we find that the more parents find opportunities to empower these kids through choices, but it's not like your standard choices. I teach choices in like a very rich, deep format. Through choices, like putting them in charge of things, making sure they know how valuable they are to the family, you know, eliminating like and removing any type of like shame, like type of verbiage with them. Like, what's wrong with you? Why can't you just do what you're told, like your sister, changing up discipline. So they just really learn from their mistakes, see them as opportunities to learn a life lesson instead of feel bad about themselves, and then also be empowered on a consistent basis. They will misbehave less. One more thing I'm going to say about that, Brooklyn, is that like this, the psychology of under what I teach is all about human needs. And so every single human being has a need to feel powerful, the need to feel valuable, the need to feel unconditionally loved, and the need to belong. And let me just tell you, like, the need to feel powerful and the need to belong right now, as I watch Stella in her teenage years, I'm like, whoa, like those are the two biggest for sure. So many kids who are rebelling when they get older, they have a lack of power in the home. They're often come from families that are like lots of punishment, lots of threats. Like, that's how they get the kids to comply, is through those external methods. And then the belonging, like, what's wrong with you? Every time you get punished, there's a message of like, well, if you were to just act different, then the family would be more peaceful. We wouldn't have such stress if you were just different. So it's like shame leaks out the belonging, and then power that's consistently taken away. And that's what I'm seeing. Like, I knew it as an educator, but it's really actually fascinating to watch it unfold in real life with 98% of her friends now. Cause it's always, every time I see a kid rebelling, I'm like, I look at it, I ask questions. I'm like, yeah, there's a lack of power. There's a lack of belonging. But with power kids, we just have to remember that that is like, they have a very big bucket to feel powerful. So like, I have a second child and he's more easygoing, right? He just doesn't have that big need. He has a need to feel powerful, but it's not as big as Stella's. Like, Stella's is her main driver and the need to belong. So the more you pour into that, the more you find ways to like involve them in the decision-making, help them understand why rules and boundaries are existing. It's for their good too, not just because I said so. That's when we find that they start to cooperate and listen much easier.
I mean, I live positive parenting, but when Dax was little, I honestly felt like I didn't know what to do. My husband and I were both on opposite pages, but I also didn't know what I wanted to do. And so come to find like positive parenting and implemented that in my parenting with my boys. And even with that, I've seen even little things that I make mistakes. Everybody makes mistakes, but even little things that I've done that have made my oldest feel a sense of shame. And so it's crazy how even the smallest things, and like even yesterday, my littlest had dragged a suitcase down the stairs and I was upstairs getting ready. The morning was kind of like excuse my lack of a better word, like a shit show. And Dax had the suitcase. So I go to the top stairs. I'm like, Dax, give Kai the suitcase. And then I walked down the stairs. I put my hand on my chest and I just took a deep breath. And I sat on the couch and I said, Dax, I should not have yelled at you. Nice. And I told him, I was like, I was frustrated. You know, Kai had the suitcase. He may have set it down to get a drink. I said, but that does not explain why I should not have yelled. That's not my, you know, I should not have yelled at you. And I said, instead, I should have done what I just did, take a deep breath, sat on the couch and communicated and explained. But I've seen even those little things kind of chip away at his confidence. And so important to like share that, like you've been there, I've been there, because I feel like the average mom or dad has felt those feelings of like, then it goes back on you where you, I feel shameful, I feel guilty. But what would you tell like a mom who maybe just yelled at her kid or feels super disconnected or just feels really down on herself? Like, am I ever going to get this?
Yeah. Well, if you're looking for someone to like validate that you've come to the right place, I love to like share about my own imperfections or mistakes, because I just feel like it's so connecting. Like, this is the human journey of parenting. And especially if you have a strong-willed kid, you better just expect that there's probably going to be a good amount of times where you're like, whoops, that didn't work so well, or whoops, I have regret about that, right?
So cool that they get to learn from that. Cause I asked Dax, I'm like, I make mistakes. I'm like, but what do I always do? And he said, you always apologize. And I'm like, yeah, I always apologize. And I always own up to my mistakes. And so they learn from when we make mistakes. And I feel like that's really cool too, to recognize as a parent who messes up sometimes and yells when they don't want to.
Yeah, it's so true. And yelling to me is like a very like socially, like we'll talk about, we're yellers, whoops, we yelled. But there's also a lot going on behind closed doors that people have a lot of shame about. And so I love to even get deep with that. So I've written a few articles that, you know, I was very nervous to hit publish on. But once I did, it was just, I got so many messages of gratitude, right? One's called, you can Google this, Fresh Start Family, I Left Bruises. And then the second one is called The Night I Threw a Book at My Kid. And, you know, these were moments where it was like, they were massive moments of regret, right? The Night I Threw a Book at My Kid is a little bit more comical. It was a soft cover, but the I Left Bruises, you know, I just tell this story about Taryn was, when he was really little, and he's my easygoing kid. And it's like, this story is always so beautiful because I still get that pit in my stomach when I share it. He was my easygoing kid, but he was very sick. He had been to the doctor getting this steroid treatment for his breathing. And he always would like turn into the Hulk afterwards. And he was demanding to go to the neighbor's house. And I was like, no. And he was having this meltdown in the middle of the street. And I was like, no. I was tired too, right? Because I'd been up with him all night. And I just remember this moment where I call it default parenting. It's like a lot of the hand-me-down parenting tactics and years of conditioning, that like powerful parenting, like you don't let someone mess with you, like you have to have control, you have to have power. But I just remember the moment where he was not budging. And so I remember making the decision to purposely squeeze his arm a little tight so it would hurt. And like, I dragged him home, and then I went into the bedroom and I sat against the door, and he was freaking out because he was sick, right? Like he was sick. He had this medicine in him. But anyways, it wasn't till the next night he got in the bath, and I walked in and I was like, hey buddy. And he's pouring the bubble bath. And I looked at his arm and I saw three little fingerprints, and I was like, oh my gosh, like what is wrong with me? And I don't think I was teaching yet at the time, but still I was close. Like I was probably in my certification, right? So like, how could, in my mind, the stuff we say to ourselves, like how could any parent do this? But especially a parent who's going to teach this stuff, right? And it was just like this crushing moment. But looking back, it's like, you know, I just used that to really change my ways. Like that was one of those moments where I was just like, I got to get help. I'm like never going to give up until I'm able to respond to the trigger, no matter how hard it is, without hurting, humiliating, or shaming my child. And it was just a very big signal that went off. And that little guy, I mean, I made amends, right? Like there was apologies, there was makeups, which I teach in my work. And I actually, we just had a podcast episode on the Fresh Start Family Show come out called The Power of Making Amends, where mistakes, you know, they suck, they feel shitty, but really what's even more important is that you learn to make authentic amends and you learn how to like feel the guilt. Guilt is good. Guilt is like an internal, like I did something wrong that I don't want to do again. Shame is not what's welcome in our homes and our hearts. And that is something's wrong with me. And I guarantee anybody who feels like they have response or reactive tendencies, again, like there's a good chance you have a strong-willed kid because you're going to be pushed like a lot more than the standard parent. You probably just have reactive modeling to you in your past, right? Like there was, you know, 90% of the people I work with in my programs were raised by very autocratic parenting, my way or the highway. There was a lot of punishment. There was spanking. There was fear. There was force, threats, yelling. So when you witness that for 18 years, you can expect that it's going to show up in your parenting. And it just takes courage to show up and start learning like you are now in the foundations course, right? Just learning a different way. Like, okay. I want to create change. I want to learn how to respond instead of react. So there is no shame at the table here at Fresh Start Family. And that is one of the things we work really diligently to help parents eradicate because it'll keep you stuck in those knee-jerk reactions. Whereas when you have self-compassion, like, whoops, I made a mistake. So nowadays, 12 years later, every time I make a mistake or I slam a door, and now I'm like door slammer. And like, even a week ago, I like threw a comb. We had like lice show up in this house and I was freaking out, but I got really frustrated with my strong-willed kid because she was like, wouldn't let me comb the hair. And I was like, threw the comb. And I just kind of laugh now. I'm like, oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Okay. I got some journaling to do. I can't wait to tell my community. No one's perfect. No one's perfect. Everyone's got stuff they're still working on, but my goodness, is it a joy when you create growth in that area and you learn how to create the space between stimulus and the response, and also just have self-compassion when you make a mistake. It's important for our kids to see those moments and to see what we do with them versus thinking that anyone's gonna never make a mistake with their kids.
I love the part in your foundations course where you talk about like taking a pause. I feel like that's really helpful. It's like such a simple thing to do, but it's really just taking that pause and it kind of takes you from that reactive state to that responsive state. So I love that. It does.
Yeah. A lot of times in the beginning, that pause comes after like everyone is finally chilled out because it is such a practice to put it in the moment.
I'm way better at it now. I almost can do it instantly. Not always, but often I can do it instantly. Like when I was talking about the suitcase and all that, obviously like I reacted, but then I was able to instantly pause and realize, no, this is what I should have done and use it as like a teaching moment instead. And so I thought that was really helpful. Will you touch on, you said like giving our kids choices.
If you have a strong-willed kid or some people, parents might be listening and they're like, I don't know. I could like Stella, you could feel her strong will since birth. I'm really not exaggerating. Like emergency C-section, we always joke she did not want to come out of that warm, cozy womb. And just like, you could just sense it from the way she held herself as a baby. And she was super like firm and muscly and like the stink eye she would give people if they tried to hold her, or the way she showed up in like the church nursery and like when she did not want us to leave her. And like, you could just sense it. She had a very big voice from a very young age. But some people might be listening and they're like, well, I haven't felt that, but right now my kid pushes back a lot. There's a lot of power struggles. And that's what we call a power surge stage of life. So usually between the ages of 2 and 6, and then also the tween and teen years, you're going to find that it shows up like this extreme urge, like this push for independence and autonomy. So either way, choices really should be a language in your home. And you don't want to like give up when one doesn't work, because those of you who have strong-willed kids, these are the ones who often are going to ask for the third option, or they're going to like say, no, I don't want either. Right. So you just want to make sure that you're keeping like, you're not panicking and you're just rolling into the next choice. But instead of just giving the choices when it's a moment where you're worried that they're going to like not comply. So like, do you want to get in the car? Have me help you get in the car is a great example, right? You're like worried that they're on their iPad and they're going to be like, no, I don't want to. Right. So, but there's also, and which is fantastic, right? Like I always say, one of my easiest switch ups for parents that 90% of parents are doing now is they give the 5-minute warning at the park. And instead of doing that, I encourage families to do, hey, do you guys want to leave now? Or do you want to leave in 5 minutes? It's up to you.
Yeah.
So and, cool. or now, or Yeah, or 10 minutes, right? And of course, 99% of the time, they're not going to want to leave now. And so then when you give them, you know, they answer, then you go, okay, great. Well, what's our agreement then? Sounds like we're both on board. We're going to leave the park in 10 minutes, right? Does that make sense? So we can get home, we can get lunch in time, or we can make it to the library for story time, whatever it is. So they are bought in to the agreement, right? And then when it's time to follow through, I teach a four-step firm and kind process. It's a program we have here, Firm and Kind Parenting Blueprint.com, but it's four steps where you make agreements in a healthy, like proactive, actual agreement way, not a compliance statement. And I teach the difference about that. But then you go right to empathy. No wonder you don't want to leave the park. I get it, dude. This is literally the coolest. I mean, look how many slides they have. Like, I get it, dude. We were having a lot of fun. You were having so much fun. And what was our agreement? Okay, so do you want to, you know, hop, like, do you want to run to the car like a cheetah or hop like a kangaroo? Do you want to get in the car by yourself or do you want to have me help you? Right? Like whatever it may be. Do you want to get your shoes on fast, like a racehorse, or slow, like a sloth? But what I was going to say is that there's often like proactive, like when you're like in a state where you're realizing you're hearing this message and you're like, okay, I want to find pockets that I can empower this kid all day long. Just start looking for all these ways that you can give them choices. So if you're making dinner and you're like, I'm like lazy tonight, I don't feel like chopping all the vegetables, so I'm just going to make frozen vegetables. I'm going to make frozen peas, or I'm going to make like mixed frozen vegetables to put on the side. And you don't really care. Just let your child choose in that moment. Or if it's like your outfit and you don't really care what pants you put on, but your little like kid that will never leave your side is standing there, just let him choose for you. Like those are little things that do a lot for power kids, because they really feel like they matter. And when those kids feel valuable and like they matter, they do have a tendency to misbehave less.
So change your mindset and realize that your kids are not trying to destroy your life. They're actually going to grow up to be leaders and world changers. Everything that you've talked about, I will link. I love the articles they talked about. I left bruises and the night I threw a book at my kid. I posted on my social media. This was at least a year ago. We had like a little stuffed watermelon. It was just a soft watermelon, but I was so angry. And I threw it, and I can't even remember what happened. When you were talking about it, it reminded me so much of that. I feel like I've learned so much from you, and I'm so inspired by you. Just as like a mom that has, you know, walked the road before me, like my kids aren't at that age yet, but I have already, I mean, and I think that you will attest to this, like I've already seen the fruit of parenting like this.